So lots of you guys have been asking me questions about getting clients and referrals and that kind of stuff. So that's what we're going to cover this morning. So
have you turned on the
recorder? We've got both of them on. We've got that one.
Thank you for reminding me.
So we're going to touch on that this morning a little bit. And I know that I've spoken to probably about half of you individually, but I wanted to sort of speak to the rest of you and sort of let you know where I'm at with my business, because it's sort of relevant to talking about this. So most of you obviously know that my fiance is Al, and he's trained as a paraplanner, so we're kind of doing this together. But we have actually kind of made some connections through Al being in the defence to a guy who is an
ex-army.
A guy who is an ex-defence member and now just sells property to defence members and I guess educates them on buying a property rather than coming back from Afghanistan and spending their $60,000 on a brand new home or whatever. So he actually goes into units, that's just like a group, a collective group, and does a presentation to them and lets them, and just purely pretty much education and shows them what they can do with their money and what buying a property will do for them, and then goes from there. And he actually, how he gets into a unit is he actually does sponsor the unit, so he'll say, I'll give you $5,000 to go towards whatever, if I can speak to your guys 5 times a year or whatever it might be. And for him, that's really targeted sort of marketing because he knows that he gets his money back from that. And we, Al knows him because he sponsors the Army snowboarding team, which Al is part of, and Al's heard him speak before. So we got in touch with him.
Snowboarding?
Yeah. We got in touch with him and went and had a meeting with him. And I was going to let Al go by himself, but then I went as well, which I'm really glad that I did, because this guy is like an ex-personal trainer from the Army, and he's like this, and he was like a hard dude, like, I've sold to lots of people, but A, I don't normally sell in person, and that's really different, but B, he was just like, what do you want, why are you here? Like, he was polite about it, but he was hard, and when we left the meeting, I said to Al, I'm really glad you didn't go, because he would have eaten you alive.
Oh, he's such a player.
Well, if you want to say it like that.
But I think he was really just wanting, and this is a bit of a story as well, just to kind of let you guys know when you're chatting to people, they're going to be really protective of their business, which is what he was. He wanted to know what our intentions were, where we were wanting to go from it. He was genuine enough to the point where he was wanting to help us, but he was just wanting to see where we were coming from and what that looked like, and whether we were really genuine about like going forward from that meeting as well. So he sort of said, oh yep, I'd be keen to sort of, well, we kind of got to the end of the meeting saying potentially we could present together. So there's always going to be the people that have the money to invest now, but then there's going to be people that want what he is offering but don't have the deposit or whatever they need to get there. So we left that meeting at the end of, well, I don't know, might have been October last year, agreeing to sort of put together a presentation and send it through to him and see what he thought about it. So we spent a long time putting together a presentation. We went back and we presented it to him actually just at his house. And the second time we met him, way more chilled out, like welcoming. Obviously we were in his house as well, but by that stage he'd realised, A, that we were prepared to put the work in because we'd gone away and did what we said we were going to do, and we'd come back with a really good product. We were happy to take on board his feedback, which he gave us heaps, so we're going to have to spend a lot of time kind of going through. You can imagine that potentially the presentation that David's got and the things that we took from David might not be so specific to 20-year-old Army guys. So we've got to kind of tailor it to that market. We'll have a lot of young soldiers, but they've all got guaranteed income, and what he sort of mentioned was that Army guys are quite easy to work with because they're used to being told what to do. So he says that his fall over rates of contracts is so low because once they've decided that's what they're doing, they just go down the path, and that's really good. So that's really exciting for us to be coming into this year knowing that we're going to be presenting with him. He normally presents to about 600 guys at a time, and he said to us, I can't see why you couldn't get 10% of them. We'll see how that goes. We obviously haven't done it yet, but we've been streamlining our processes on the back end because if you guys, you can imagine, if you got 60 clients tomorrow, you'd be like, how do I deal with that? So we've kind of been figuring out how to actually do that and how to break people down into different groups, single guys, families, couples, because we know that single guys that live on base, they're going to be so easy to put into the system versus families with heaps of debt, they're going to be like, potentially we can drag that out over a longer period of time. So that's kind of where we're at, and in terms of a niche, we feel that it's going to be really good because even if like the economy crashes, they've got guaranteed income, they're always going to be there. There's always a turnover, especially if you're kind of dealing in sort of soldiers rather than officers, you know, quite often they're only in for 5 years and then there's a new bunch coming through, so there's always quite a big turnover on people to work with, which is really good. So I just kind of wanted to start with, I guess, where we're at. We've also got a couple of mortgage brokers on board that are sending us clients, and in terms of that, I've been to talk to mortgage brokers, and I've been to talk to people that aren't interested, and I haven't really heard from them again. They were like perfectly happy at the meeting and all that kind of stuff, but then it hasn't really gone anywhere. But then I've got others that it has gone somewhere, and they've sent me a couple of people straight away, and then kind of tapered off a bit until I actually gave them feedback. All the time I was giving them feedback, I was saying, okay, cool, we've set up the plan, they're really happy. But then when I've actually given them feedback to the point where I've said, okay, this particular client, they have got a date of the 12th of December this year to have their deposit to come back to you. And then this particular client, they've found an extra $25,000 a year to put on their mortgage. Can you please do me figures on what that would look like for their mortgage, how it would reduce it, how much they would save? And for this particular client, it was 17 years and $250,000 worth of interest. So because we're kind of working together, even though potentially my client might not choose to do that, it's just about providing them the information of what that $25,000 can do for them. And working together with the mortgage broker, they can see what I'm doing and how I'm getting results. So since I've actually been working a lot more closely with them, I've just been getting emails after emails after emails from this mortgage broker of people to work with, because he knows that I'm supporting his business, I'm helping his clients, and he's really happy with that. So you need to make sure that you're really creating that symbiotic relationship where you're both gaining from it, and make sure you're giving feedback on both ends as well. So that's just kind of where I'm at personally, but I wanted to start with that so you guys have a bit of a background of where we can kind of go with this section now and how we can help you guys be in that position too.
So when you went into that meeting, the tough one, where you had your gruff face on, how did you approach? Because you had no idea whether he was going to be receptive or not receptive. You had no idea whether there was something that you could do for him or not. How did you get to the point where you were able to get him to start to see maybe there's a future in this? Like, was it the same process that he goes through all of your calls, or did you need to find his, what are they called?
Pain points.
Pain points
in his?
Hooks. Hooks. Now this is a fishing line, this is a hook.
I don't know what that was either.
I'll think it as a down and up.
The sand and happy. So when I go into all of my meetings with mortgage brokers, I still follow the same method of what I talked to you guys about yesterday. So in terms of a life story of what I'm trying to find out, it's more about their business and what they do, and it's like, oh, this is a really cool space, how long have you guys been here, just trying to find out about their business. Oh, we've been operating here for 10 years. Oh, cool, how many staff have you got here, you know, just general stuff. So you're building up a picture of what their business looks like, and so then I'm like, then I'm going, oh, we've got a financial planner over here, and I've got a couple of blah 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 blah, I came from this background, whatever. So then you kind of, and then he's, you know, this particular guy was like, oh, I was in the banking world, but I left that because I didn't want to stay in the corporation, I wanted to branch out and do my own thing and like really help people. So then I kind of know, okay, cool, this is going to fit in with what he actually wants, because I'm helping people, he's helping people, we're getting the best result. So I do follow that method, but in terms of the guy who was a bit tough, really tough, I tried to follow that method and it just did not work at all. Like, I just kind of kept asking questions, and then he just would ask a question back and be like, so how can I help you? And like, he was just giving me like no information. Potentially, like I was trying to do a bit of small talk at the beginning, and then like trying to find out about his business, and I found out a little bit, but he just cut it right off and was just like, this is kind of taking a bit much time, where do you want to go? But I think in the end, realistically, I know now, and Al Connor knew then as well, that his motivation of doing what he does is because he likes helping people and he doesn't want to see soldiers kind of get into a situation where they don't have anything, and that's why he started his business. So ultimately what we had did fit in with what he wanted, but by no means did that conversation go how I would have planned it to go.
He was testing you.
Yeah.
Quite often you'll come across somebody who's putting on the gruff, and they're actually playing a game with you that you can't actually see that. And he's got the real tough, rough face on, and he's just seeing how far you'll go before you crack and crumble and you pass the test.
Yeah. And so funny you should say that, because then when we went to his house, he's got like these like, what kind of caps are they?
Oh, it's like two white
flags. But he's a pussycat.
Yeah, he's like, and he's like cuddling up to these pussycats, and he's got this big like cat cage outside his house, and like it's totally fun. So now we're like in the inner circle, hopefully. So we'll see how that goes.
And going to the mortgage brokers, how do you actually initially, do you just go and cold call to start, or do you try and ring and make an appointment, or what's?
When I've been approaching mortgage brokers and financial planners and all different stuff, I've just been using the email that David has given all of us in the training manual, and if you don't have it, it's on the resource center, I'm guessing. So just use that, and I'll be honest, initially I just started like googling people, and then if their name came up and their personal email address, I'd send it to them. But then I started ringing people after that to like get them. You need the person's name. It's like useless if you don't have the name. If it's just going to admin, it's just going to get lost, so you've got to ring up. And honestly, I'll just ring up and say, hi, I'm interested in some financial planning. I've just had a look at your website. I believe Rebecca's the lady to chat to. Would you mind giving me her email? Or who would be the person to chat to if you don't have their name? Oh, Rebecca. Oh, cool. Can I have an email so I can send an email and ask for some more information? They don't. Like, you're going to talk to their receptionist, so they don't know. You're not going to probably talk to that person. So just get their name, get their email, and send it to them. And then maybe even in the email, I'll probably make it a bit more personalised and say, I've just spoken to your receptionist, whoever, Vanessa.
Happy day.
Yeah. And then you're in, like, to a certain extent, and it's not so cold.
Yeah.
You've got a split second to get someone, you know, when they look at that email, it's like, I've spoke to your receptionist, I'll open this one. Hi, are you looking for some delete? So, and if you've spoken to them personally, well, then, and you say, I'm going to send you an email, it's totally across the line.
I haven't seen that email that I've missed. Does it actually ask for an appointment time?
Yeah. So it's saying, look, I'm interested in pretty much referring clients, but it doesn't necessarily, it probably insinuates that you're referring them clients, but it doesn't actually say just, that.
It leaves it open.
It leaves it open.
Talk about referring clients.
And so then I'm kind of interested because I'm like, this could be a client generated for me. Yeah. So then they look at that, and then you'll get an appointment from there. Now, I will say that some people have emailed back and said not interested, some people have not emailed back at all, other people I've had meetings with and it hasn't gone anywhere, but like, I've probably known from when I turned up that it probably wasn't going to go anywhere because the guy was like 60 and just wasn't really interested in changing what he was doing. I'll be honest that I kind of used the fact that I was a pilot for a little bit of clout because this dude was just, and I mean, to be fair, I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but then when he found out I was a pilot, he wasn't like, oh, you're just a dumb young chick. But you kind of have to use what you've got, and that's what I had, so it didn't go anywhere.
On that point, Tonya, I had one meeting and the guy asked me if this was my real job or if I had a real job. No, I'm an electrical engineer by trade. He said, well, how are you going to be able to do this? And you've got a primary job, and so I have to say that I have to talk my way through that yep. point. But
yes.
Yeah. This is my passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I love to do.
But he was obviously aware that I had a primary job.
Yep.
And this was something else that I was doing. And he was concerned about. Yeah. I think I can see he's concerned with sending referrals to me.
And not looking after
not,
them.
Not looking after them 100%. But yep.
I guess that's a learning curve though, is that is a negative that you're going to come across, yeah. like you come across a negative. So you have to go into every meeting maybe thinking that there is going to be a negative, so that's why you have to prepare and be, you know, so okay, what if he throws that negative at me today, how am I going to respond to that? And this is, I'm going to be prepared for that. So, yeah.
You're definitely flying by the seat of your pants, and every meeting that you have, the seat of your pants gets better and better.
Yeah.
because you sort of get to learn how to work that joystick or whatever they have in airplanes each day.
Everyone's asked me that. I'm like, I only do like 120 hours a week at work, like a month at work, so I've got heaps of time. And then I remember the first guy was like, well, what does that look like for clients too? Because I don't want to see too many clients. That's what he said, and I was there, but at the stage I can handle 5 a week easily, and then if it grows from there I can train stuff. So that was fine.
If you can go then with, like, you've done the numbers, so you say each client can only spend 2 hours within the first week, whatever, and then 15 minutes. And if you, like, lay it out like that, and then say, so I have this much time outside of my normal job, therefore I think I can max capacity at 5 people. They can sort of see that you've done the math. And then if you've got another process up, like, oh, look, I'm planning on hiring additional staff, or I've already got additional staff who could come on once I get more clients. If they can see that you've done like a bit of assessment, they'll be generally happy.
Alfred, you're talking about putting on staff, but we were told that you can't have staff.
You can have staff at Andrew's phone, and I mean, you don't have to be telling the exact truth. In fact, I wouldn't even say I'm thinking of employing staff. I would just say, and staff can assist with, you know, like, and staff can do stuff. Like, whether you've got it or not, it just sounds like a great story. And obviously, if you get to that point, you can get someone trained up pretty quickly. So, only say what needs to be said before trying to make this meeting to get across.
So, just out of interest, hands up who's used that email that I'm talking about. Okay, so like half of us. And how many people would you guys have sent it to on average, do you think?
Oh, I've sent it three.
Three, okay, cool.
How many meetings?
One. Okay.
Oh,
how many percent? Yeah. Six.
Okay.
But
I've had three.
Okay, so 50%, 30%.
So when I did my initial calculations, I worked out how many clients I wanted to get. So I thought, I've worked it from money. So I was like, I want this much money, which means I need this many clients a week, which means I need this many mortgage brokers to be sending me clients. So I worked out that if I had good relationships, they would, on the lower end of the scale, send me one person every 2 weeks. Now, that's probably not going to happen in terms of, it's probably going to be more than that, but I wanted to be conservative in my estimate. So I thought if I had 10 good relationships with people sending me clients, that would provide me what I wanted in terms of money, okay? Now, I thought, okay, if I need 10 good relationships, I'm going to probably only have a 30% hit rate of who I talk to. So I'm at least going to have like 30 meetings with people to get 10. Right, and so every time I went to another one, it was like, oh well, that one's a no, but I'm gonna have 20 no's to get my 10 yeses, so whatever. Yes. Okay, so
I've still got 12 left.
So, and I'll admit, like, I haven't even got to sending the amount of emails to get the amount of appointments, because, like, you know, you're probably only gonna have a 50% hit rate, or maybe even a 30% hit rate with the emails that you send out. But honestly, how much is an email in terms of your time? Like, okay, it might take you a bit of time to actually get the list, but if you say, okay, today I'm just gonna ring around and get the list of people's names and numbers, it might take you, let's just say, maximum 2 hours to get what you need. And then, to be honest, I probably wouldn't send out 60 emails or whatever, because you need to actually say, I've got, like, you know, if they email you back and say, okay, what time have you got, you're probably going to have to give them a couple of options on time, and then you're kind of doubling yourself up. And I found that I got a little bit tricky when I sent too many at a time. So just send like 5 every day or something, whatever it might be. But the game is numbers, and I'm glad that you guys are all really honest and say, like, you haven't, because I was afraid that you might have told me that you've seen 100 and then you've got no clients. And I was like, oh, now I don't know what to do. But, like, you, like, and I'll admit, I haven't seen that many, because I kind of got to the point where I had a couple of good relationships and I was getting clients, and then we were talking to this other defense guy, and so we're putting all that energy into our presentation. So as long as you're moving forward in some region, but you need to be getting the numbers of those emails going out to be getting the meetings. And in that meeting, just follow that same process. And you've got to think about, what can you offer them? Like, what's good about what you do to make their business better? Because that's going to encourage them to come on board. So has anyone looked at people other than financial planners or mortgage brokers? Has anyone looked at any other people?
I sent one to AITC, which is a private school.
Yep.
And they only do grade 10, 11, 12 trade students.
Yep.
So, but I didn't use David's email. I sat there for ages trying to word the email. I'm not sure I'd know that email. I was there, didn't know.
What did
there.
You
use? I went into two real estates.
Cool. Yeah. Any like
One lady was interested, but she said that all the people who rent a Burwood were druggos and wouldn't be able to afford it. And the other one was really positive and said, yeah, I'll set you up and set up a meeting with our rental property advisor and up manager, and then you can come in and talk with us.
Cool.
Yeah.
And Jenny?
What you really need to realise is that you only need a handful of quality people that you have a relationship with who come to trust you and know that you provide a service, and you are home at home. But even if you've got to, you know, go through 3 months of sending emails every day and appointments and busy, 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 once you break through that initial barrier, you're all right. So, you know, what I said yesterday about getting excited, what's driving Tony? Why has she been doing all this stuff? Why have you guys been doing that? And if you lose the excitement, it kind of becomes a job. But when you're excited about changing people's lives, and it's like, wow, this is just a birth thing that you've got to go through, or like a birth pain that you've got to go through. And why?
Yeah.
And then once you get through the birth pain, you then got the business up and running, and you've got the referrals. It's just something you have to do. You have to build a relationship with a number of business people who can refer to you. And that's all there is to it. Carol.
And I went to our local accountants, and I met with them just at their morning meeting that they had, and I did a presentation for the accountants there. And out of that, especially at tax time, because they obviously see a lot, and I said, look, you know, it's more about how, you know, I can help your clients who come in who are having financial difficulties, and when they're coming in to get their tax done, and I've actually got a couple of clients out of that, which is good. So, and he's got my brochure, my business card, sitting there as well on his desk,
which is some front reception. Exactly, and you're helping their clients because they're not getting into any trouble anymore.
Yeah. Two things. Notice Carolyn said people are having financial difficulties. Please don't overlook people who aren't having financial difficulties. Yeah. If you use the language something like, I can, no matter who your client is and what their situation is, I can help them supercharge or put their finances on steroids or make their life better, even if it's okay. Because there's a whole lot of people out there who are doing okay, who certainly wouldn't say, I'm in financial trouble. They would love what you could do for them. And I've forgotten the other thing, so to come back.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. One of them that I'm hoping to, once I get back to work, seeing is he in no way in the world is in any financial hardship. He's just looking for the education and the way how to manage that properly. Like he said, you know, he's got the money there, that's no dramas, and he's just had a promotion. He's still living at the low, but he just doesn't, not managing it properly. He's just looking for that help and to go about the right way. So, I totally agree.
I remember what the other thing was. When someone gives you a positive response and says, yes, I'm really interested, and you go through the process of maybe going and meeting with the cats or whatever it is, and you, okay, yeah, we're feeling comfortable and we want to go to the next step, there's at least one person who I have spoken to who has had a number of people say, yeah, I'm at that point, and then didn't know where to go from there.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do next. So you've got to think about, okay, I need to be able to say, this is what happened. I'm going to do this, this is the process, so that there's an easy, yes, all the boxes are ticked and we know how to get started.
Yeah, you're right. So you need to be going into the meeting with some kind of outcome, like what do you want from this meeting, and generally what I want from that meeting is to be able to either, for starters, the guy who is like seeing me the most at the moment, for me to say to him, look, I'm happy to do one for, you know, a friend or a family member or a staff member or anyone here for free, so you can see what I do, because you obviously don't know what I do and you don't know what results I can achieve. I'm happy to do that for you. Just me offering that to him was actually enough for him to say, actually, I'm happy that you put it out there, but I don't expect you to do that, and I'm happy to send you some people. Just me offering was enough to show that I was prepared to do it. He didn't actually need me to do it. But other people, I said I'm happy to do it for someone free, and then they like said I'm a secretary or like whatever, and I've started working with them. So then as long as you're starting to move forward and show them actually what you can do, that's a really good outcome. But also I'll follow up by saying, because I won't take anything with me in terms of like flyers or whatever, because then it gives you a reason to get in touch with them again. So it'll be like, oh, well, what I'll do is I can send you, I'll email you through my flyer, so then you can attach that to, or send that to any people that are interested. And normally I find the best way is just time minimal for both of us. If you speak to someone and they agree, you can give me their number and then I can get in touch with them. Rather than emails kind of going back and forth. And so I try and get them to be emailing me the client's name and number, and then I just give them a call and find a time to have a chat with them. So make sure that, yeah, you leave the door open so you can contact them again, and sending a flyer through is like a really good excuse.
If they'd said to me, yeah, okay, I'm really interested in something like that, and I made that offer, and whether they accepted the offer or whether they said that's not necessary, you've got to keep the ball in your court. So basically, I'd come back and say, okay, that's really great, I'm looking forward to working with you. How about this? I'm going to call you on Friday or a couple of days' time, middle of next week, to get a couple of people from you to give you some time to think about who the first client would like to be. I'll give you a call, and what will happen is I'll contact those people within 2 days and give them a, this is what's going to happen, so they kind of see, wow, this person organised, got a process, there's a system in place, I like what I'm seeing here, that's making it happen.
And as soon as you actually do then call them back that next week, they know that you're serious, and the more that you sort of emphasise that, the better the relationship's going to be. Like, I even just sent off like a really quick, hope you have a good Christmas, happy new year email, and I mean, obviously big companies and stuff send their stuff, but I'm not a big company, but at least I thought enough to actually send that email out to those contacts, and so it's like, oh yeah, she's still on the radar, she's still there. So then it gives you a reason to get back in touch with them in the new year. Oh, you know, maybe have a good Christmas.
In the presentation, without going into too much depth, that have you already presented it to Mr. Personal Trainer? Okay, and was that the presentation that you're going to present to the group? And did you did you do by PowerPoint? And did you use that same process that we went through yesterday with, you know, the pain points sort of thing, sort of, yeah, how did you?
Yeah, that's a good question, and we're actually going to talk about that a little bit more this afternoon, so okay. We can go into that in a bit more detail. He kind of came back to us and sort of tailored a bit more to their taste, but
yeah,
we did put a lot of thought into how we actually wanted to structure it.
Yeah, doing a presentation together, we just want to make sure we're on the right sort of track.
Yeah. Jen's the lady for that, so she'll be giving us a little bit more later on.
Sorry, what was the question?
About presentations.
So when you, just to rewind right back to the start, when you've made the appointment and you walk in the door and sit down, and you're shaking your boots but no one in the world knows about it, what's the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth? How are you going to get started, and so that you're in control, but you don't have to be overpowering or it's all about you? How do you start meeting?
Just thanks
for
taking time. Just thank them.
Thanks for the time, yeah. That's 1 second.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you do.
Great. You just ask them a question, tell me about your business. Who's your ideal client? What's your ideal client look like? Because you need to find out about their business, and you need to find out whether actually you can help their clients or not. And if they said all of their clients are drug addicts, gold munchers, you go, okay, thanks, I'll see you later, and you have to do it. Maybe not quite that fast. This is, oh, we've got all of these people who are in the army, they're single guys, they've got free accommodation, they've got lots of disposable income.
Yes.
So you're qualifying what can happen next. And when I say flying by the seat of your pants, that's what I'm talking about. You're asking questions that allow you to, okay, then I should ask this question next. So their clients are like this. What's your industry like? So if you don't get any benefit from the first question, tell me about your client, it might be like, what's your industry like? How's the legislation? Is it getting harder and harder, or easier and easier? Is it the industry that everybody's flocking to, or are people leaving? And I can tell you, the financial services industry, people are going all the way out here. It's just getting too hard. So, you know, why is it getting too hard? What's causing the grief? Oh, there's all this legislation, we've got to do duty of care, we've got to prove that we can, the people can afford the loan, and then, oh, wait, that's interesting. And maybe not jump straight onto it then, but know that you can come back to that later and say, well, it's actually could probably help you with that issue. But you're listening all the time, asking questions and trying to qualify and the answer to every question leads to the next question, you're still trying to find out, how can I make myself look like I can make your life better? How can I understand your pain? How can I understand your client's pain? Because you need to know both, I guess. And that's what I'm talking about when I say blind by the seat of your pants. But you need to go in sort of having a few questions up your sleeve to start with, and then kind of, okay, I'll work out from there. And every appointment that you make and that you have, you'll kind of walk out and you go, okay, I could have done this better, I could have handled that better, I blew it at that spot, next time I won't say that, and you'll get better and better at it. And if you have to fail to get better, well, fail fast. Just go and do it.
I mean, realistically, most of us, I know not all of us, but 90% of us in this room are from pretty big cities or near pretty big cities. So we can send a lot of emails out and we can like have a lot of meetings. And if we stuff one up, it's not like that was the only mortgage broker in town and that's the end of it.
Yeah. I went to the Yellow Pages website and just cut and pasted the advertisements into a Word document and printed them out. I had them in my car with me. Everywhere I went, I had this Word document and I just ticked them off. I never got past the bees. Okay, there's up to Z in the Yellow Pages. So
who thinks they can send some emails out?
I've written it for you. You can tweet it if you like, but I don't think you need to.
And then who thinks they can make some time to do some appointments?
And one really important question. Who's excited? Because if you're not excited, go home. Well, I say get go do something, or go hard or go home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's your business, and you know we've given you the email, and just use it. Like I use it, and just like you said, the Yellow Pages is there. Internet's amazing. You've got a phone and a computer.
What do you want out of this business? And I think Jenny's going to be addressing that in the next session. What do you want? And how much do you want it? Now, I can't say that I followed any formulas that, you know, that people have written about goal setting or anything at all. The only thing that got me to where I am today were two things, excitement and tenacity. And the tenacity was driven by the excitement. In my deepest, darkest hours when things looked like it, nothing was working, the tenacity was just because I'm not going to give up. And I know that what I'm doing is going to help a lot of people and I'm excited about that. So, you know, every day is not going to be a perfect day and every meeting is not going to be a perfect meeting. But who cares? Because the big picture is we're going to change a lot of families, a lot of people's lives. And that's all very wonderful, but you're not going to get up every morning and lay down and die so that you can help every other family in the world. You want to get something out of it. But you can. You know, the whole formula's been worked out. And you know, we've had financial planners go, oh, that's not enough money, I wouldn't be out of bed for $1,000. Well, bad luck to you, because your whole formula is falling apart and the whole, you know, all the legislation is saying you guys have been ripping people off and it's been too easy, blah, 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 and it's being taken away from them. And their expectation is that, oh, I can get, unless it's 5,000, you guys can be out there going, you know what, I can do 50 people at 1,000 easily. It's 50 grand, that's not bad pocket money. You can do that in my spare time. So, we're going to change everything.
Do you think, Tonya, that you could do your mortgage broker appointments or financial appointments remotely, like over the phone with a PowerPoint?
No. And the reason I say no is because I don't meet their, well, not 100% no, but the reason I like to meet them is because then I don't need to meet their clients. Because they already have enough, they've met me, they have enough trust in me, and then they are happy, like, they are happy enough to be referring people. And then I don't meet any clients. And so for me, that one meeting to meet them is way easier than meeting 50 clients.
So the reason I ask is, with my primary job, I travel a lot and very short notice, and I've had to cancel some physical appointments and say, okay, sorry, I can't make it, and then I can't reschedule for that back.
I think that real relationship building, because it's only such a core group, like literally I need a team to make like $100,000. So. And I wasn't even saying I want 10 mortgage brokers. I was just like, okay, 3 mortgage brokers, 3 financial planners, 3 whatever. Like, that's because any kind of breakdown doesn't seem so big. Like, 10 mortgage brokers sounds like a lot, but 3 doesn't sound so many. So I would say no, but what do you say? You about contacting the person?
What I can say, and I don't know definitively if that's the right word, but my suspicion is already that of all the guys that are doing something in this business, the ones who meet their clients face to face are getting more referrals and getting a higher percentage sign-up rate. Because it builds so much more trust and rapport when you meet with someone. Now, if that's not possible, and it's not always possible, I mean, Carol had someone ring up from up the coast, there's no way she could drive to Gladstone or Rockhampton or wherever it was. So it was kind of forced upon her. But I met every client face to face until after I came on TV.
We Skype and Zoom a lot. A lot of our clients are in Sydney. We've never met them. We'll Skype them for, you know, half an hour or whatever and do that.
That's
fine with clients. I'm more talking about the initial brokers.
Yeah. But yeah, the referrers, I meet them face to face every time.
But Tony, you just said you don't actually meet the clients. Okay, so when he gives you a name, a referral, so you ring them and then you meet them to actually make an appointment.
I just ring them, I say, when can you talk? They say, next
week. You don't actually sign them up, they're just on the program.
On the phone, I do everything on the phone.
So you do the sign up on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't actually physically meet them, but you do meet by phone conversation.
And that's fine.
It absolutely works. Yeah. All I'm saying is that my suspicion is that the people that are meeting face to face are getting a higher success rate. But that doesn't, all depends how you do it and how warm and fuzzy you can be on the phone.
I think with referrer, if you're out of time, Skype is better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if that's all you can do, that's better than.
Yeah.
And then
works.
At least they know
I'm
your face, so
work.
That when you have to reschedule or whatever, they've spoken to you, seen your
all
face.
All I'm saying, if you have the option, and you've got the time, I'd go, you know what, let's meet face to face. Let's have a problem. And Stuart, when you have to cancel an appointment because you've been called away at short notice, you say something like, oh look, I've just had a client lost their job and they're going to get their house repossessed, so I've got to go and sort the house for them, can we schedule?
So you're a hero.
Embellish.
Think around that, you might be able to embellish the truth a little bit. And sound like, ooh, this guy's really on the go.
Yeah.
All right. So what did we get out of this session?
Reassurance.
A spending planner's perspective on how it's working for her.
Is it really that, is sending emails and making appointments really that hard? Like, it's not impossible, right? Like, I was sort of talking to Al earlier about presenting the section, and I'm not saying that I've got hundreds of clients, because I don't, and I know that there's other people that have got more clients than me, even in this room, and that's cool. I just wanted to give you how I'm doing it, and also, you know, this, because you guys are getting paid the big bucks because it is your business. You haven't paid $500,000 to get a McDonald's or whatever McDonald's costs, and everything's done for you and all the advertising is done. Like, you're paying, you know, a minimal percentage of that because you can build it for your own, and that you're getting paid the money to actually do the work to go and get your clients, and that's what's going to create the value.
So we're going to go for a break, but before we do, I want you to turn to the person beside you and tell them, this is what I'm going to do next week to make my business.